hoping that someone purchased the CD. It's called a Spiritual Erotic Expression of Love. Yes, if it is mostly geared to couples, and this will help to inspire couples to be more mindful and be more appreciative of what God has given them. And it's a very good stimulator to build up yourself in the bedroom. Yes, it's highly sexual. Yes, so it has that mindset for you to think on sex. That's what it's all about, because God ordained it for marriage. So if you are married, you should be functioning at the junction. And this CD does help to stimulate your mindset. So if you have lost your buzz or lost your fizz or whatever it is, you better get right down dirty diggy with it. Come on now. We're not going to neglect that part of our marital bed. We know a part of marriage is communication. You know, you're verbally talking, but also connecting with your body is another form of communication as well. So this CD will certainly help you in that area. It will, if you have a little slow in that area or something kind of offbeat and you kind of lose it, like I said before, come on, put that spot back in there, honey, and get back on that horse. Okay? All right now. I ain't joking now. This is real. Okay? God said marriage is honorable, the bed is undefiled. So you better work it. Come on, you got your husband, got your wife, work it. Make that bedroom spicy. Come on now, I'll work it. Because let me tell you something, God made marriage for a reason, and it's for us to enjoy each other. So it's important for you to spend time in that place as well. Not only, like I said before, communicating through mouth, connecting with each other, you know, praying, doing different things, but also get jiggy in the bedroom. Okay, so this CD will definitely help you in that area. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's kind of heavy. So if you got issues and got some, you know, things about sex, about your body parts, well, I don't know if you could listen to this, if you can contain yourself, because this is highly sexual. I ain't playing. Okay, so get your copy today at the website. Oh, trust me, it will blow your mind. You get a little tip of it at the website, but I want you to order it. And once the order comes through, I send the copy out to you. And you just order it on the website, and it's $5, and plus you pay shipping and handling to get it to you. So, and order one for, you know, your couples. You got your young people getting married. Thank God, some of them are getting married. Give them a copy in there. Give them a copy of the CD in their gift bag, or you know, something. Whatever you're doing, you know, throw a copy in there. Buy a few, you know, give out to married couples to spice up their relationship. All right. So thank you. God bless.
Also, so my book Things Left Unsaid Before I Do is about questions that I wish I had asked. Or I had gone in depth in before I got married. Those questions would have clarified certain aspects of the marriage to probably help it to be a bit better. I mean, not everything that the counselor or premarital counselor can help you with, but at least those basic things I believe should have been covered. So that's what it's about. A little over a year after I got married, that was my first marriage, I was at work. And I thought about some of the issues that we were having, and I decided to just, it started out just by writing them down in my diary and writing things about them that I wish I had known and how to better deal with it. That's how it started. You can find my book via Shopping Assistance JA. They're on Instagram. And if it is that you want to order it via online, you can order it on Amazon. If you want to contact me, you can contact me via The Unfiltered by J. That's on Instagram, or Gloria Adegold on Instagram. Thank you.
It's You Me Radio, touching your airwaves like something you've never heard before.
You Me Radio.
Listen to You Me Radio.
Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships, arguments for the grown.
Get the You Me Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio, one word.
UME Radio, positive entertainment 24/7. Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
Welcome, 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 welcome to LTR tonight, Monday night, and we're looking to have an amazing time. We have had some interesting shows the last few weeks, months, and it's getting interesting and more interesting. And we do thank you, listeners, for coming back week after week to sit in with us. And you know, there's a word that we say: we dine together, we eat together, we break bread together. And tonight we're looking to have another pretty exciting segment here with my co-host. She might be coming soon, but until then, we are here. My name is DJ KTE. That's what I go by here. And it's really a joy and a pleasure to have this opportunity to actually speak into lives on the different media platforms, be it, you know, Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or the different platforms that we have. It's really a blessing. And so we really, you know, we really thank you for joining us for Let's Talk Relationships tonight. You know, you may read it tonight. We look to really empower people around where we are and around the world. That's around the way and around the world, all right? So be it near or far, we really want to impact, you know, and we really want to bring the discussion, want to bring it home, and really want to really connect with you, and also get your feedback, get your insight as well, because it's like we're family here, and although we want to impact everyone, be it whatever culture you're from, but we really want to really put the emphasis on our Black culture. We have been marginalized, we have been really been ostracized in many ways. And we have had to fight our way to get to where we are, and the fight continues. But I realized that when you're given a voice, you want to be able to amplify those around you as well. And you want to be able to speak truth and speak truth to power as well. And you also want to be authentic and let us know that together we are powerful. By ourselves, we can only experience less. So I guess, you know, tonight again, we're here to really, really have a grand time. And so that's why we're here. So if you are in your home, get comfortable. All right, then maybe call some friends up. You never know. Call some of your friends and say, hey, LTR is on tonight. Let them know what's happening here. And we can, you know, as one big family, we come together and have a good old time, as my grandma would say. Have a good grand old time. And let this show be an inspiration and a joy. So again, thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Relationships on Yumi Radio. We're here to explore the dynamics and evolution of relationships, you know, to identify challenges and offer perspectives through transformative conversation. All right. We're also here to promote strong, healthy family life and community. You know, it is said that for every 1,000 miles, start with a step, one step. So we impact our community, and then we impact our society, and we impact the country, and then we impact the world. It's important to us that you know that is not our intention, okay? Not our intention to offer our own opinions, our advice on how you should live your personal life or how your personal relationship should be. Do your own research, you know, be a free thinker. Make sure you are doing well in your own life. And make sure that you have the necessary tools that's needed. And we wish you love and happiness. All right. So I look forward to a great show tonight. I want to say a big thank you to all our partners, supporters, listeners, and viewers from all over the world. All right. And it's really, like I said, one big family here. And want to keep it that way, all right? See, we know you could be somewhere else. You could be anywhere else. But the fact that you are here, you know, we really appreciate that and so forth. So with that said, again, we welcome you to the show. And this is DJ KTE. And we don't have Lady Misty here as yet. She might be having some technical difficulty of why she's not here. But when she do, if she does, then we'll just make it happen as we always do. We have a really good chemistry and we have been working together for a while. If you've been watching us for a while, and she's a really great co-host, really enjoy her. And when she's not here, it's like I'm hopping on one leg. My left leg is a little, you know, but, you know, sometimes you got to just brace yourself and be prepared for that kind of thing. So here we are again tonight. It is now approximately, I would say, 9:07 p.m. And it is March 14th, 2022. And my, how time is flying. It's absolutely amazing how it is flying by. So I'm actually going to ask one of the producers to actually kind of set the stage tonight for this show. And we have a very interesting title tonight. And the title for the show tonight is 10 Reasons Why Black Marriage Matters. All right, 10 reasons why Black marriage matters. And it seemed like as of lately, there's a diminish in Black marriages, and we don't want to see that. I personally think that's a very important thing to have Black marriages, because with the Black marriages come other things, you know, the culture, the background, those early years of understanding history and understanding how important it is to actually connect, you know, with our past and understand where we are and where we're going. And I think the Black family, it really encompasses the idea of a healthy family. You know, when you have kids born in a lot of these single family homes, single mom and so forth, it's just taken away from, I think, the real essence of what a marriage, a Black family marriage, should be. And so we hope that we will see a rise in the black family getting married, right? And get it on, you know, as Marvin Gaye would say, let's get it on. We can have them have our babies, because, you know, with the high rate of abortions and with the high rate of black men being incarcerated, and with the high rate of those who might be in the army, and with the high rate of those who choose not to get married, and with the high rate of those who choose to go for the same sex, opposed to, you know, opposed to the opposite sex, then we have a diminish. So we do need to see that happen. So I'm going to ask our producer to play a video at this time, so we can get some perspective and look at these 10 reasons why black marriages matters.
Ran across a video while looking for an exemplary black couple story to share tonight as we continue to celebrate black marriages and the black family. This is what one husband had to say about his wife.
Yvette Nicole Henry. For 10 years, you have proven to be the greatest asset I could ever invest in. When I've given you time, you return to me life-altering conversation. When I've given you nothing at all, you challenge me and inspire me to create. When I've given you patience, you've returned to me growth. When I've exchanged intimacy with you, you've returned to me children.
Belief in Fatherhood, that is, BELEAF. We found them on YouTube, but you can also find them at BELEAFinFatherhood.com. The mission of this black couple is to prove great fathers exist one day at a time. We want to share their mission statement with you. The writer wrote, "I was reluctant to become a father because I was afraid of this outcome. Once I was mentored by a good father, that all changed. Everyone deserves to see what being a good father looks like. I created Belief in Fatherhood to be the proof. To equip fathers, bring hope to mothers, and inspire children. Support BeliefInFatherhood.com, that is BELEAF. Celebrating black marriages and black families. When you choose a spouse, you're choosing a teammate for everything. The person you will stand next to in every loss and win. The person who you will work through every struggle with. You're making a huge investment in your life. Every investment comes with risk, and when you choose wisely, some come with a major payoff. The partner you choose impacts your quality of life, for better or for worse. I am grateful every day to have Yvette as my teammate, my partner in all things, especially in parenthood, because every investment I make into her, she gives back to me tenfold.
You've made me a father, which has transformed me from a boy who made promises to a man that makes covenants and walks in purpose."
Wow. Hey, welcome.
Wow. Hi, how are you?
Awesome.
I'm powerful. Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, powerful video. What do you thought about the video, Coach Rickett?
Oh, wow. You know, I think the my favorite part, or the part that really sunk into me, was that end. When he said, you know, you something to the effect of you transformed me from a boy to a man, and to someone who not just makes promises, but covenants.
Mm.
I think we need more of that. And that entire video, for me, I think it's applicable across the board of relationships. Mm-hmm. Just like I think when it comes to relationships like marriage, I think it's the same. It requires the same kind of considerations when you're going to business with someone, or when you join a company, because that is going into business with someone, because we make so many commitments. And I think sometimes we don't really stop and look at it and how we prioritize them, and what influences the value that we put on them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. I think that we spoke recently in one of our shows, it might have been the last show, where we talked about many people get married. When they get into marriage, they get into marriage without the understanding of what really is at hand, at stake.
Mm.
And so, you know, as Russell was saying, that she had a questionnaire on what is it that they were about to get into. You know, right. What about you? What about him? What are the, you know, the differences? How can you guys find a way to synergize? What are the, you know, the thing that made the pros and cons, so to speak? So you'll find that a lot of people go into marriages as well as businesses, well, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. call it the partnership, to the understanding.
Oh, then, believe you me.
Yeah, and then now halfway through the journey, it's like, you know, what did I do here?
Yes.
Right? But you know, it's okay to have those moments, but it's more critical when you don't have an idea in the first place what you're entering into. I mean, I remember being to a lot of weddings, and they will always say, well, we don't enter into this lightly. We don't enter in this, you know, it's not a trivial thing. This is real life.
It's no game. Marriage.
Yeah, you know.
Any and kind of marriage.
It's kind of marriage. Right? You know? Yeah.
It's no game.
It's a serious thing. And
could that be what is contributing to the lack thereof? But then we're going to look at the topic. And let me just say, I'm Coach Raquel. I'm a life coach, success coach. Uh-huh. And I help people. I'm a breakdown specialist, and I help people acknowledge, identify, and leverage their breakdowns in order to achieve the breakthroughs. So I'm sitting in for Misty. I'm the producer for the show. Uh-huh. She's not yet here. I know she wanted to be here. I know, and I'm confident she did everything to get here, because she always does.
No,
but I know she had a meeting, and there's a time change because she's in Jamaica, right? So...
Yeah.
So I'm here for her. So the topic tonight is that I hope I can do it justice, because I don't know that I'm a good person for this topic. But if this is the way the universe designed it, well, here I am. 10 reasons Black marriage matters. And the source is blackandmarriedwithkids.com.
Yes.
And the author for the article that we're going to be sharing with you or using as a guide throughout this conversation was written by Tia Cunningham Sumter. And she is a certified life and relationship coach, founder of Life Editing, and author of Life Editing. That caught my eye because I'm an editor.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
And author of A Conversation Piece. I'm hearing myself. A Conversation Piece, 32 Bold Relationship Lessons for Discussing Marriage, Sex, and Conflict, available on Amazon. She helps couples and individuals rewrite their life to reflect their dreams. I like that. I call it life planning. She called it life editing. Tia has been featured in Essence and Ebony magazines and named one of the top blogs to read now by Refinery29. She resides in Chicago and with her husband and two daughters. And the article goes, for the past 13 years, are you hearing an echo?
A little bit. It might be your volume there. But
I'm not sure
clear.
Because I'm using a headset. Okay. As long as it's not bad for the listeners.
Yeah. Maybe turn on the buffer a little bit. Sounds like maybe a little distortion there.
I'm not quite sure what that is.
It could be the plug. It could be the plug or something. Maybe insert it. Maybe that may help. I don't know if that helps enough.
Okay. I'll continue and see if it goes away.
Yeah. But it's better. Actually, it's got a little better right now. Just about now.
Okay. That's great. That's great. For the past 13 years, Black couples, churches, and marriage-focused organizations all over the country has been celebrating Black Marriage Day. This year, the momentous occasion honoring Black love will be celebrated on April 3rd. That's next month, a couple weeks from now, right?
Uh-huh.
The day, which launched in 2003 by founder Nisa Mohammed of Wedded Bliss, started with just 30 cities and has now grown to more than 300 communities across the country. Its growth isn't by accident. The need for more positive images of Black marriage and family is long overdue. This celebration is by no means meant to insinuate the marriages of people from other races don't matter. It's just that Black marriages need a little extra TLC to combat so many of the negative stereotypes and images we see daily. There may be some from other communities who would argue there is no distinction between Black marriage and all marriage, but here are a few reasons Black Marriage Matters. And
wow.
The first one, Black marriage rates have declined. According to U.S. News and the Princeton Brookings report on marriage, Black women marry later in life, are less likely to marry at all, and have higher rates of marital instability compared to both white and Hispanic women. Another report by healthymarriageinfo.org states the rates of marriage in the Black community have declined, while the rates of divorce, separation, cohabitation out of wedlock births, and children residing in female-headed households have increased. It would sound as though women have been left in the bag. With those statistics, is there any reason as to where we should place our attention? So the first one, Keith, is Black marriage rates have declined. What are your thoughts on it? I think you guys covered this some time ago.
Yes, we did. I think I mentioned even before you started reading this piece earlier on, like you said, I guess economically, I guess the way I think the culture has placed on marriages,
right?
I think that it has caused many to kind of not look at it as something attractive anymore, and I think the divorce rate that people see so often has caused a lot of people to say, "Well, you know what? It doesn't look too hopeful or promising. So why should I get in there?" You know, when kids see their parents getting divorced and people around getting divorced, it doesn't seem to be a very attractive option. And then, of course, you know, men, you know, especially Black men, are finding that economically it may not be a viable option. You know, and so these are things I think that would affect the idea of Blacks wanting to get married more.
And I think the second one is also going to answer the first question too. But if I remember correctly, in one of the episodes that went, they were talking about the disparities between what a Black woman is looking for as opposed to what they're being presented with. And then it also looked at the challenges that Black men were facing. And I think the second one here is going to actually address it. It's I'm trying very hard to focus. Like, my mind is on Justice Smollett, and that's all my mind is thinking about as I'm having this conversation. Just that it just demonstrate the inequality of it all. And it I think, like you said tonight, when Misty's not here, you feel like you're on one leg. I feel like Black people have been given basket to carry water, but people are looking at us like, why aren't you carrying the water?
Yeah.
Why won't you carry a full bucket? When the next one addresses it, the second one, number two, says our images aren't balanced. The way that the examples that are being presented and showcased just doesn't balance out, you know. Like, again, like I talk about the Justice Smollett story, you have a Kyle Rittenhouse and you have the person who caused Emmett Till to be murdered, and neither of those two people got any was never sentenced.
Yes.
Now here is Jussie, and I'm by no means am I saying he did nothing wrong, but when did why is there a greater pressure for us to be perfect? Why can't we make a mistake? I mean, just the overkill. This speaks to it. So the author says, just turning on your television will remind you of how Blacks are viewed in the media, and not just viewed, but projected showcased. It's intentional.
Wow.
You know, from news reports to the negative portrayals of Black men on even our most beloved television programs, we are left desperately wanting more visuals of a healthy Black family. Do you know that Tina Knowles, that's Beyonce Knowles' mom, she did collaborated with this guy, and they did a program, and I'm so sorry I can't remember his name, that's so bad. But they did a show, a docuseries featuring the positive Black men, because we have them.
Yes.
And there were persons who actually had a problem with it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not talking about just people of other races. I'm talking about our own race. Because one of I think, this is my opinion, the challenges that we face are more internal than external.
Yes.
I think as you were talking and opening the show, the whole time I sat there as we were talking about different types of relationships, I recognize it even in my own self, and it's something I'm working on. I don't know that I trust my people. And I don't know that my people trust me.
Wow.
Which
is a major factor.
Which goes back to how they talk about us, the stories about us, and you know what I mean. And we're not telling our own story, so someone else is telling it. And when someone else tells your story, they tell it however they please and however it works for them. You know what I mean? So I'm telling you, but we can turn it around. And as you can see that video, like I'm telling you, when I was going through and I followed that video, I was like, wow, amazing. Amazing. Listen to how he spoke about his wife as an investment that gives him tenfold. Wow. I mean, let me ask you this, because you're a guy, like, what does it take for a man to see that in a woman?
Well, I mean, I think that, I think many men see it. They may not verbalize it. But at the same time, I think
Is there any good in seeing it without saying it? I'm just asking. I'm not even, you know, I'm just asking.
I mean, saying it sometimes it works better, best. Like most things that we do in life, many men I know, especially growing up, a lot of men would say this, man, you know, I love you. You know, I mean, based on what I supposedly do, but they may not say it. Because, see, a lot of these things are taught from young. The black culture has been affected in many, many ways. I always thought that even being young, even expressing ourselves, you know, we're taught to just, you know, be seen and not heard.
And not, yes. Oh, you my know, goodness.
So it affects a lot of what you do, even in life, even in your own married life, even in business. It affects that.
That is absolutely true. And not just that, Keith, DJ KTE, but there is this pressure that comes on you. I don't know if I put it on myself or I feel it coming from other people, but there's this pressure of perfection.
There you go.
You're not to say it wrong. You're not to do it wrong or else you're banished.
Yes.
Yep. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because even with the whole justice case, like a lot of black people are just remaining quiet because they're saying he was guilty anyway. So what? I'm supposed to love you, guilty or not guilty.
Exactly.
You're part of the family. You're part of the community. And we're not saying he's not guilty. Isn't justice the whole point of having a court? A court exists for a reason, right? It means that there are people who aren't perfect.
Exactly.
So aren't we supposed to make sure or to hold them to account, to make sure that it's fair? Because what is happening to him isn't fair. Why do we have to wait until it happens to us? Like the lawyer, I don't know if you saw the case of the video of the lawyer who the police stopped and even when she got into the court.
Yes.
And then she said, she made the statement that just blew my mind. She said, I know that this happened to people a lot. I know it happens a lot, but I never expected it to happen to me. And I'm dressed nicely.
Imagine all that. Wow.
She said that. Yeah. And let me tell you why that's important when she said that, and I dress nicely. Because we are so judgmental of people if we think they don't look the part.
Yeah.
If they don't sound the part, we keep picking each other apart just like they're doing us in the media. What is it going to take for us to stop and say, I know better? I physically know people in my own life that does not represent what they show me on the media.
Wow.
What is it going to take for us to do that, you know? Well, it continues to read. It says, it seems the negatives far outweigh the positives. And this is sending the wrong messages to everyone. Mm-hmm. Healthy black families exist. Sorry, healthy black marriages exist.
It sure does.
And Black Marriage Day reminds us of that. And number three says, more than 50% of black children live in single-parent homes. What do we say about that? We desperately need this movement, as our children are reported more likely to come from single-parent homes, according to datacenter.kidscount.org. 66% of Black children live in single-parent homes. Black marriage matters because our children need to have an opportunity to experience and repeat healthy love.
Yeah. And again, when you have such high numbers, it exacerbates now, and then you have more rejection that's built into kids growing up. You know, rejections of youth part of our self-actualization and how important we feel and how connected we feel. So when you have so much single homes, single moms, then kids grow up feeling sometimes, why, what did I do? Is it because of me? It must have been me, that kind of thing. So rejection sets in for a lot of these kids. And of course, that leads into other areas. When they get older, they have sometimes built up these walls, and so they get married, a lot of them, with a lot of negatives, a lot of almost like experimental, not with the confidence that we're gonna make it happen. It just happened. Folks are looking more for like ways to an escape route, and so they learn those routes, and then God forbid, then I go east, I go west, and so on. The way many Black young folks say, well, I'm getting married for this. I want to just have a baby. I want to have this. And some would say, listen to me, I want to have X amount of kids so I can live off the system. And some may say, I want to get married so in case if he goes south, then I'm okay. Or they find somebody with some kind of financial strength or some kind of financial, security. So it gets real crazy, And we're in a culture where it's like rather than pushing togetherness, they push, well, try different things, try this, try that. Different culture here, different culture there. And so therefore you're now are kind of like pushed to explore other options opposed to your own race or your own people. And of course, yes. We see these things, it impacts the minds from very young. What they make the dark skin look like, and what light skin is better, is a better reach, or movie stars that some of kids watch, they married other cultures, right? And kids see these things. It's embedded in their subconscious, in their mind somehow. So everything come together really affects it. Really affects it. So
yes.
The race that we see, the percentage, and why it is so high. Yeah.
I understand. Oh, yeah. Number four, cycles must be broken. Children from single parent homes are more likely to drop out of school, experience teen pregnancy, and experience divorce, thus repeating a cycle. Mm-hmm. The more healthy marriages they witness, the greater the chance they repeat that cycle instead.
That's true.
Black children can't repeat something they don't see.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's profound.
If I may ask you this question, and if you're not comfortable, you don't have to answer, but I know that you yourself have children, mm-hmm. and you don't necessarily live in the same home with them. What are some of the steps that you take personally to make sure that your presence is felt and that your children know that regardless of whatever separations that might have happened, you have both parents and we're here? How do you, in your own life, counteract these negative messages, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think first is to connect with the ex. All right, ex-wife, spouse, whatever.
The co-parent.
You connect on a level where you create a good understanding, right, of the goals that you have in mind for the kids. And try to have a healthy, mature relationship. Many adults are like kids, really, in their behavior. So
were you watching Nick Cannon show?
Yeah, about it. So that when that's established, first the kids mm-hmm. will see that. They will see, okay, listen, when mom and dad get together, I don't see war, I don't see fuss. Mm-hmm. I don't see strife.
That's important.
I don't see this kind of craziness. And so that builds in them a confidence. And it's something that even though this has happened, they grow to understand there's something. This sauce is very healthy.
Because they have to learn how to deal with breakups too, don't they?
There you go. And then now, exactly. And then also we keep reaffirming in them that, listen to me, you're important. You're valuable.
You matter.
Matter. And so
welfare matters.
As if they're not the issue or cause of why you are parent
makes a decision. That's important. Yes.
And the other thing that's so important, there's an old saying, it's not about the quantity, it's the quality. So if you can make those times become quality times for those kids.
Yes.
Believe me, it can.
They probably don't even remember the times you're not there, huh?
Yeah, they'll tire you.
Yeah.
You know? Because of the quality. So you play with them, you joke with them, you mess around them sometimes, you know? And my son, for instance, I remember the first time I took him on the park and said, let's drive my car. He was like, huh? I said, we're going to drive today. It was like, you got to be kidding me. Yes, you are. You know? I put him in there and he drove. I was surprised how well he did.
Wow. My dad used to do that with me.
Yeah, yes. And I would play ball with him. That's good. That's okay. Ball, and of course, let him win a couple of times. You know, but yeah, and really make him feel that, listen to me, I'm there with you.
Wow, you know, you matter. He matters. Yeah.
And of course, tell him you love them every time you see him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very important as well. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was watching Nick Cannon, his show, and he. I realize he makes an effort to address issues men face, because a lot of these programs don't.
True, actually. That's true.
And he has from time, I think, I don't know if it's every week, every show or every week, mm-hmm. he has a man panel. I don't know what he calls it, but it's a man panel, and it came on. And I remember he was talking and he said the one thing he wishes for with the people, the relationships he get into is that they get along, that with or without him they get along.
Oh yeah
Because everyone gets to choose the kinds of relationships they want. They have to stay true to themselves. Mm-hmm. And for him, monogamy just doesn't work, and I respect that he recognizes that he's self-aware. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, this doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have the kind of lifestyle I want. And these are the terms, and this is how I want to manage it. And I really, really like that. And I think that would probably help us a lot in getting relationships. I had to learn it myself too. And I guess a lot of people learn it as they go along. It's not as though even though you have manuals and books and Bibles and whatever, it's not like you get up and read all of them all the time. So there, and even when you read all of them, your life is unique. You are unique. You are one of a kind. You would still need to do some learning as you go along. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think maybe as I listen to you and I listen to that video that we started with, perhaps what needs to happen is community, like people talking with each other and sharing resources and I think there's a shift happening. Do you think there's a shift happening in the Black community right now?
There's a shift, and I think that it's more financial, I think, now. And I think, you know, financial leads to other things, areas too, because, you know, the one thing other cultures have had and they're ahead of us in is the financial part of it. Because you see, financial empowerment is a major part of why people do what they do. They travel more. They tend to
access help services. Yes,
more. They may spend more even on their emotional health.
Yes, you know, mentally,
because they're the cost. The many people say to me, I'm gonna pay $80 when I got to buy kids some diapers or something. It's kind of crazy, you know.
Yeah, you have to juggle
gas price. So some things become a non-issue, and it's more welcome. It's done more quickly,
yes.
You know, and so forth. So I think as that increases, you know, then we're going to see other areas as well increase. More kids, maybe, you know,
yes,
and more things to say, listen, we can afford this, we can do this, why don't they make it happen?
Yes.
And I've always thought about doing a lot for my son or my kids home, like I post like piano lessons. They can take math lessons, science lessons, outside of just the regular sports. You know what I mean? And I'm seeing myself do more of that.
Wow.
And really empower him in every area, you know, especially educational wise.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I think, I don't know, for me, I think what my father did to me, he taught me critical thinking from very, very early. He forced me to think.
Wow.
Yeah, he forced me to think, and I had to read and then talk about what I read, not regurgitate it, but discuss it, like have a whole conversation around it. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I think also what could also help is, you see, it's when you know that if you can figure out the state you're in, you can plan for a different state. You know, but you have to first learn the state that you're in. And I think a lot of us are in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are refusing to take accountability. And I think the possible reason could be because accountability has been taught to us as something very terrible.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh, if you did this and you were wrong. Be prepared. You're going to be punished. That's what's happening to Justice Smollett right now. He's been made an example.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's been made an example. But that's not what accountability is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Accountability is supposed to be a tool that is used to help you to see the state you're in so that you can then leverage the opportunities that present itself. Because for every breakdown, there is information on what's missing and what opportunities are showing up. And for you to be able to use it as a leverage to, or as a stepping stone to get to the next level. And I think if we could, do you think that as important as we've made education, for me personally, if I were to have a child right now, my child would be born an entrepreneur. Every piece of clothing, every food, I would have stocked in everything for my child. You understand me? I do it for myself. If I find something I buy regularly, I need a stock in that. Like I don't know. You're a parent. Do you think that kind of ownership conversation need to start from that age, like from childhood, especially given that as adults, we see the state now. We may not be able to correct it for ourselves, but what corrective measures are we putting in place for our children?
Wow. I mean,
so they can have a different outcome.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, it's funny because the way the world is going, I would say unfortunately, but fortunately, the way we looked at the jobs, you know, 30, 40 years and a nice retirement is really kind of out the door now. So I think kids are now were born now seeing that. This means I got to find something here, because even you find a lot of YouTubers, an example, you know, they find their only cam thing. They're getting their own little recorder. They're getting their own, trying to do their own little thing. You see a lot more of that happening now.
I think it was always happening. It's just that it's on the internet now, so we can see it.
Yeah.
I, from my experience, the Black community has always been resilient and have always been industrious and have always been trying. It's just that each time we try, it's like our legs keep getting chopped off. I want to go to number five just because of time.
Mm-hmm.
But number five says our communities are suffering. Oh, yes, it is. Violence is on the rise in many of our communities, and our support of one another seems to be minimal.
Wow.
Celebrating Black marriage could help to erase the negativity. Marriage mistakes strive because of a sense of community. Sorry, marriage ministries strive because of a sense of community. Mm-hmm. Couples feed off other couples. Being around other healthy marriages make couples want to work that much harder at their own marriage, resulting in a community full of those willing to invest in family. Number six ties into that too, where it says marriage in the Black community is undervalued. I believe that because I think we don't value each other. If you've seen a few instances of marriages actually working, you too may be less likely or interested in getting married. True. A celebration of Black marriage reminds Black couples of how amazing marriage can be and the benefits that come from being married. According to weddedblissinc.com, a few of the benefits are a more satisfying relationship, a better relationship with children, and a decreased risk of substance abuse. You know, wow. I think we can hope all day long, but mm-hmm. the truth is going to stare us in the face. And until we get, I don't know.
You know,
valued by the Black community?
I think the Black community is really divided, right? Now, whenever you have a culture or a nationality of people who are being cut off to some degree, you know, it's like you have reprogramming. Today, I was in school and we were reading a particular passage here, you know, and it talked about Blacks were renamed when the slave master owned them. They would take on the slave master's name, all right. And if that slave master was sold to someone else, then mm-hmm. would take on that person's name again, mm-hmm. all right. So you talk about some serious out of place things that went on. So again, it's like getting a lot of toxin out of the system. There are a lot of physical things that happen to us. But the mental thing as well is just taking time to unwind, and it's like a clogged pipe.
It's a process.
You see, so it's taking time. No, the water's running, but it's taking time. You know, what I mean,
to see
through. Okay, I look at my own self, right?
Yes.
I don't like math. Mm-hmm. I never liked math. For some trauma reasons, being young, yeah. And as a grown man now, I'm dealing with accounting things. I'm literally scared and dread the entire thing. Now, it's funny because...
I don't think it's by accident that they made us think about math the way they made us think about it, because math is directly connected to wealth.
I give you a joke. Great point. And I think this past week was the first time mm-hmm. in a business setting where I had to address numbers and accounting. I'm like, you know what? Wow. This thing's really important to have, get under your belt. It's good to have this thing as a part of your understanding. The fundamentals of, you know, loss and gains and profits and, you know, and how to really maneuver it and understand it.
And it's probably not the first time you've done it, or maybe other persons have said it. You just had, but this is when you got it.
It felt like, no, it was more like a fun experience, like it's like empowering, like a happy feeling, like wow.
What inspired that? Empowered. What was there a reward? Was there like what if you were to teach someone about this? What is it that got you to this place? Because if we work together, right?
Yeah.
So if I may say this, it's not the first time you've been asked to do it. It's not the first time you've attempted to do it. What changed? What made it this time round? Who did you have to become this time round, or how could you? What kind of self-leading did you have to do that? That maybe a lesson you could pass to someone else.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, right? But mm-hmm. you know, when you stay into something long enough, you realize that there you have the option become very, very, very small. And when you realize that, listen to me, this thing can cost for not knowing. Mm-hmm. It can cost.
The cost of lack of information, right?
And also working with someone who really, not only show that it's important, but actually pushes you to as well. And I mean, you've been one who pushes in directions where I thought it was really fantastic. Sometimes I think that the Black man doesn't want to be pushed by the Black woman, and sometimes vice versa. But I think in this case, It's not necessarily the greatest feeling in the world in the process of it. But when you see that at the end of the day, we are all connected. You know, it's funny. I had a thought about men and women recently, just in my own realization mm-hmm. that men, and where how we look, we understand it from the biblical perspective, and my understanding is that the female came from the male. Female mm-hmm. came from, so it's my own self. So when I mistreat the female or don't understand that, I'm actually doing injustice to my own self. It's connected.
And it's the same with people to people,
So I think the mastermind of the one who came to manipulate us was to make us not like each other, not understand that we are connected. So when you see yourself not connected, it's easy to actually mistreat each other and not see the importance of having that connection.
Yes.
You see? So if I'm a male and think of Adam in this case, and Eve came from his rib, and he looks at Eve with disdain, then what's he really doing?
You see? Yeah.
But when that happened, he was asleep. He probably didn't even know where he came from. He probably didn't know where you
came from. At least that's what the Bible tells us,
right?
Yeah?
It seemed that way, right? He didn't know where.
But this, I guess what you're saying, and thanks for sharing that. But I think, I don't know, for me, it is so clear to me that how I interact with you comes back at me. Because if I believe in this whole creation story, we're all connected to the same body.
So,
and I learned from a very young age that it's going to come right back at you. I didn't really grow up with my mother, so it took me some time to learn her and love her. And I remember the first time I saw her and saw that she looked just like me. I looked exactly like her. I realized, you know, I'm telling you, anyway, I'm going to go to number 7 because we have 3 to go and we have 10 minutes.
Yes.
So number 7, black couples are, thank you for sharing that though, Keith. Black couples are less likely to seek marriage help. Yeah, help seeking. And again, it goes back to that fear of being yourself, fear of expressing yourself. I always go back to, if we say that our foreparents who were slaves used language to get away, to free themselves, why did we abandon our language then? You see, once communication is cut off, you know, one of the things I've always noticed for me personally is the man who drinks and curses and carries on has no problems. You know why? He lets it all out. We keep it in because we want to be nice and kind and perfect. And, oh, I can't say it like that. You know what I say? Say, let out what you feel however you can. Ask God for forgiveness after then. He restores, right?
That's a very interesting approach. But I think that those who have been genuinely transformed, and they just know that this doesn't work for me anymore.
I'm not saying it shouldn't or it should. I'm saying that's why I said you let it out by whatever means necessary, because keeping it in does not help you. It doesn't serve you. I think there's this perfection thing, and it starts with Bible.
Yeah.
The amount of minutes I have will not allow me to go there, but it starts with that perfection in the Bible. You need to be perfect. I have absolutely no interest in being perfect. Absolutely none. So I'm just telling everyone who interacts with me, I will be imperfect. I have no intention, no desire to be perfect.
But it's funny, if I
perfection hurts. But go
perfection,
on.
Perfection really is not how people see perfection. You know, I think the Bible says be perfect before I am perfect. It means that
I'm not referencing the way we treat each other. When I speak and I'm expressing myself and you're like, oh my God, why are you behaving like that? Maybe that's the only way I know how to. And maybe your silent action, your what you think is silent isn't so silent, because and this is just, I'm not even talking about you personally, but if I'm speaking with someone, I'm interacting with someone, and all that's coming out of them is toxic, something has got to be wrong with me too, because I'm the one interacting with them. So if I am so pure and good and I'm interacting with you, shouldn't that rub off? I'm just putting that out there. But black couples sometimes suffer in silence. Believe you me, I was one of those persons, suicidal for most of my life, because I was in silence, because I didn't want to say those words, because I didn't know how to even let out what I was feeling. And there was so much gunk coming at me. There was so much there was so much perfect lies coming at me, perfect rude behavior, passive aggression. And you just sit there like, how do I respond to this? I don't know how. And I got to a place where I just had to let it out. Just scream if I have to.
But you know, if you think
just,
about
just it, scream. But you know, just let it out.
Yeah, but if you think about it, one has to be where they are, where they are, and do what they, because see, sometimes a lot of people do things out of survival mode.
And that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. We have to create an environment that people will seek help no matter what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. They should be. I think if someone in front of you is bawling and crying or screaming or whatever, that is help seeking. We've got to be able to learn to acknowledge and recognize help seeking behaviors. They don't always look like I need help in my word say to you, help me. Mm. Sometimes it doesn't look that way. Sorry, I'm getting passionate about this, but
the thing is that I think it has all been that way because people have always responded the way they respond. Because
that's not my experience. My experience is we're very judgmental, and I've been judged. I know, very judgmental. You know what? Someone called me this morning. Someone that was once a director in a company that I worked for. She called me this morning, and she's like, Raquel, you know what? I understand now. When all that pressure comes on you, you know, Monique said, isn't inequality harsh? People were judging how Monique was handling inequality. Isn't inequality harsh? All I'm trying to say is the punishment needs to fit the crime. I'm saying we have to get to a place where the health, the wellness, the love and the support becomes more important than the criticisms and the tearing apart and the ugliness that we facilitate. Number 8, our history of self-love is suffering. Black history was rich in love. This is absolutely there is absolutely nothing wrong with loving who we are and where we come from. And number 9, the misconceptions of Black marriages are overwhelming. And then there's number 10, the final one, which is Black families don't often receive equal resources and information. And let me tell you something. I have witnessed it for myself.
Yeah.
Where we hold each other at higher levels and higher standards than we hold some other races, Caucasians included. Mm. I don't think I've yet seen a Black, even with all the reality shows, I have not seen bad behavior like some Caucasian people, okay? Mm. Because it is passive aggressive doesn't make it worse, make it better.
Exactly.
Okay. Because look at what the judge said to Jesse. You charlatan. Uh-huh. Hold on. Are judges supposed to be impartial and fair? Oh, are judges supposed to just handle the sentence and move along?
Mm.
Isn't that what is supposed to happen?
Wow. I think
now, if Jesse comes on and they've been talking about the fact that he put up his hand and stuff, but nobody talks about what was handed down to him. Wow. We've got to get to a place where we can just love each other where we are.
Yeah. You know, you said some very important things, but at the same time, you know, you see that we know a world that is just unfair. It's not balanced.
I'm gonna be me.
Right? It's a world that is so out of balance. And so I say
and we facilitate it out of balance, Keith.
We're here.
We will never achieve wealth, abundance, none of that until we are walking authentically in our being.
Indeed.
And with that said,
we have like a minute to go. I see you very, very spirited tonight, very passionate tonight.
And listen, I didn't even know I could do this. Believe me, when I saw I was going to come on, I'm like, Lord, I don't even want to talk right now.
Well, there you go.
Here we go.
I can sit back and relax and just let it do all the work. Listen, I don't mind. But again.
Be careful how you say that.
We talk about marriage and the importance of Black marriages, and we see where we should probably continue this column next week because I think it's a very important issue.
I'd love to hear what Misty has to say.
Yeah, we should definitely have a part
two. Because we're total opposites, I believe.
And then you single, she's married, so she may have a slightly different.
Yeah, and she's also softer. She's not as rambunctious as I am.
So we get
a lot more palatable, huh?
We get to see the soul of the Black women. We see the rambunctious side and the laid back side, right? Hey, it's all good, right? It's all good. Nothing wrong with that. But it's
been my pleasure.
But it's been great. Thank you for being a host. You've been always
my pleasure.
Spirited and always passionate, and it's I think the audience loves it. So guys, we thank you again for tonight for coming on board with us LTR, and we appreciate you guys. And you stay blessed. We'll see you next Monday night at 9, same time. Remember to get an app. Go to your Google Store or Play Store, your App Store, your Google Play Store, and download the app. It's UME Radio. UMERADIO, one word. Don't forget to subscribe and share and like. And we look forward to seeing you again next week where we can sit down and break bread. Take care and God bless.
Underneath it all, who are we sexually? Bible, cufflinks, and slettos with Giselle St. James. Monday nights at 10 p.m. For mature audiences only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Monday night where we talk the things them. Yes, man, it is time for Bible cufflinks and stilettos. And of course, you know that I am your host with the most, Giselle St. James, your author. I am your counselor, and I will be here with you tonight just to talk through some things with you. And my, what a show we have for you tonight. I cannot wait to get into it because we have a lot of things to talk about. As you know, we do this show for the main objective of talking real and practical things and talk about those issues that couples may face on a day-to-day basis, especially as it relates to their sexual expression, their sexual relationship, and also how to improve it. So we always give persons good advice. Well, we try to, and we always try to open the minds of our viewers so that you can be better for having tuned in to our show here at Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos. Now, I want you guys to check in. Let me see you guys checking in because I want to see who's here tonight. I want to see who is here tonight. So tell me who's here so that I can shout you out because I'm always excited when you guys join me in here tonight. So guys, don't forget to like, comment, make sure you share, click the notification bell as well so that you'll always be reminded about when we go live again. And listen, don't forget that we are always on at 10 p.m. on YouTube on the UME Radio app, and we will be on Carib Vision on your television screens. Exciting stuff! All right, now in our show tonight, in our wonderful show tonight, we're going to be having the sex talk. That's right. We're going to be having the sex talk. How to talk about sexual desires with your spouse. Ooh, let's talk about it. Come sit down with me. I want you to call your spouse, get them in the room, and the two are going to sit down together because we're going to be talking about some real good things. Listen to me. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Tell a friend to tell their friend because it's about to go down. Come on. Join the conversation and let's tell each other the truth because I also have a guest with me here tonight, and I'm going to be introducing her a little bit later, and she's going to be talking about it with me, how we talk or share our sexual desires with our spouses. But before we get into it, as you know, we always do our self-check exercise. So repeat after me, whether you want to do it out loud or just in your mind. We want to get you ready for tonight's session. So, I am present and in the moment. I welcome the information that will be presented tonight with an open mind. I am ready to learn and to practice. I will comment, share my experiences and tidbits that will aim to enhance tonight's session. I am ready.
You ready? You're ready. You're ready. You're ready. Are you ready? You're ready. Come on. We are ready to talk about it. We're ready to talk about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So tonight we have with us Miss Jodian JB McFarlane. And Jodian was born and raised in St. Anne, Jamaica. Jodian began ministry at 15 years old. She began singing in the choir and praise and worship at the United Lifeline Deliverance Church of God. She's a past student at the Brownstown High School and Bethel Bible College, where she attained a certificate in Christian ministry. In 2012, she became a member of the Unity Singers Gospel Group. Jodian joined the All Nation Worship Assembly New York family in 2019 under Apostle Dr. Matthew Stevenson's leadership, the lead pastor of All Nation Chicago and New York. She always had a love for singing and is influenced by artists such as Benita Jones and Tasha Cobbs-Leonard. She predominantly sings soprano. However, she can sing alternate vocal ranges. Good stuff. As with many of us, she was not always obedient and at times would shy away from the Lord's directives. During the 2020 lockdown, she experienced a bout of loneliness and depression. Thus, she decided to submerge herself in a 30-day sabbatical and praise, seeking the Lord. This sabbatical time would have her emerge with a new identity revealed and her new single, thus birthed the social media program, How Did I Discover My Identity in Christ, aired on platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, Saturdays at 1 p.m. December 2020, the first program was aired where she announced that her stage name has changed from Jodi Bliss to Jodian JB McFarlane. And as of January 2021, she began inviting guest speakers to share how they discover their identity. The song she emerged with is entitled My Soul Says Yes. The theme scripture, Mark 14:36, exemplifies what it means that when your soul says yes to the Lord, it is wholly sold and sold, and you now turn everything to Him. It does not matter what is going on in and around you, your complete trust is in the Lord. This is the aim of the song, that her audience also will come to that place of saying, yes, Lord, I totally surrender to your will. Jodian is here, and she'd be honored to collaborate with such artists as Benita Jones, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, Kevin Downswell, David Wilford, Miranda Curtis, Todd Delaney, and Jessica Reedy. Tonight, we are so blessed at Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos to have Jodian JB McFarlane with us. Welcome, Jodian. Oh, Jodian isn't in yet, so she will be logging on very, very soon. So as she gets ready to come in, I just want to start off with what we're talking about tonight. Now, for many persons, when they're in their relationships, you find that their ultimate desire is to always have a wonderful sex life. You know, they may say in their minds that this is what they want. They want something satisfying. They want something that is long-lasting as well. But sometimes we find difficulty in communicating this to our spouses. We're always wanting something different. We're always wanting something exciting. We want something that is passion fueled, but we have so much trouble actually communicating that whole idea, communicating that vision. And we find that with many couples, when this talk comes up, you find that you shy away.
from it. Is there anybody else who has that experience? There's things that you want to try, things that you want to do, but when the talk comes up, you have a little difficulty with actually admitting that you really want some things. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, our spouses will even suggest the things, but we are so afraid that we might get judged. We don't bother say anything. And it is just probably that thing that will unlock so many things for us in our sexual lives, especially with our significant other. So we're going to talk about how exactly we are going to share our sexual desires with our spouses. So, Miss McFarlane, are you in? You here now, Jordan? All right, so let us go on. So listen to me. If you don't grow together sexually, the relationship goes stale, don't it? Listen to me. Let's not beat around the bush. If we don't grow together sexually, the relationship is going to go stale. We might have a good communication strategy where we're always talking, we're each other's best friends and all of that kind of thing. You know, we go out and we have fun wherever we go in and all of that. That's wonderful stuff. It could be that the person is good to the children. And yes, that's something that you want in your relationship. But that part that we really need to sort out sometimes, it gets neglected. Remember last week when we talked about maintenance sex? Yes, man, with all our responsibilities, sometimes sex itself gets neglected in our relationship. So how do we talk about sex? How do we get that conversation going? How do we talk about our desires to our spouses? Because sometimes we can talk to our friends, don't it, Jordan? We talk to our friends and we say we want this and we want that in the relationship. But when it comes to having that one-on-one conversation with our spouses, sometimes we clam up. Why do you think that's so, Jordan?
I believe that sometimes because we know our spouse, we know the reaction already. We already know that it's going to be a no. Don't talk to me about that. Don't ask me that. Are you crazy? So we are really timid sometimes to really approach the person, about that.
So true. I remember having a conversation sometime, I think maybe about a few days ago. Uh-huh. And my friend was saying that, you know, I've always had a fascination about anal sex, but I've never said it to my husband. So I said, so you sure your husband wouldn't try? She said, oh, no, I know the answer to that already. That's a definite no. And I'm saying, oh, but have you asked him? She said, I know he's going to say no, so I am not going to go any further. Yet still, this is something that you want to try.
You know, I don't... It's 2022. It's 2022. This is like in 2000 when we were talking about oral sex and everybody's like no. And 10 years from now, it's like, oh, okay, that's what we really want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But It is really something that I think you should really talk to yourself, because, you know, I want to share this with you. I was watching Madia movie. I don't know if you got a chance to watch this Madia, okay? Mm-hmm. Watch Madia, and every time I watch Madia, I love how she does her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a quote that I actually pull out, and I was so blessed, and I want to share it. And it is, I think it stands out so much. Where did I save it? Maddie, I think I said, right. Right. One of the things he said, when you marry, you don't just say I do to one person. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just say I do to one person. And then she explained it. She said, you don't just get married to one person. You get married to different version of the person. Ooh. Because over time, the person change. Mm-hmm. And that is what we don't embrace the change.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess from I'll never try oral sex, but oral sex or anal sex and stuff like that. But you watch a movie and there's a
so true.
You know, there's a tick that went on, or maybe your friends talking about it or something. But over a period of time, there's a level that maybe I want to try. Maybe a one time. I mean, this is your marriage. What are you gonna do? Who are you going to talk to?
Who are you going to tell me
about sex? Tell me.
Talk about it.
Never mind.
Come on.
Who are we going to talk to? Who are we going to talk to? If it's not our spouse, who are we going to explain what is going on with us sexually?
Yes.
Who are we going to talk to? Yes, we may be scared, but listen, cook some nice nice lingerie on us, baby.
Yes, like, man. You
must know your man. Come on.
That's right.
You must know
that's
your man and try to that's get comfortable and get him in his comfort zone. And baby, I really want to talk to you about something, but I really don't know how you're going to take it. But on my heart, because sex is a two-partner thing. It's a two-partner thing. You getting pleased? Listen, I'm 33 years old and I'm not faking no more orgasm. I'm so
oh come on.
Listen, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. I've done some Academy Award winning performances in my life.
Oh,
yes, I've done some real good performances. Listen to me, my eyes shake like leaf and nothing go so.
Nothing. No, nothing.
More.
I tell myself that no more will I fake an orgasm. Yes,
that's right.
You fake orgasm? A lot of women. Any woman say they have not fake an orgasm.
Lie to Mattel.
Lie.
Trust me.
It is, and that is facts. That is facts. So listen, we gotta plan something. Talk to this spouse, what he loves. Take him to the movie, something.
Yes.
Let's talk about this.
Sometimes we just have to even preempt everything. You probably talk to them about what they like first.
Right.
Tell me something that you'd like me to do. I want to do something spontaneous and exciting. But talk to me about something that you've been wanting to do for a long time. Me and you. Let's see how we can spice up me and you. Because sometimes, we talk about let's see how we can spice up the relationship. And when you look at somebody else in a relationship.
Come on now.
Somebody else. But
we don't need to
spice up what you and I have. Exactly. So you be specific and you say, talk to me about some of your desires. And, sometimes his desires might not be something out of the way. But because of how maybe we females stay, the man probably don't even want to come to you the way he wants. Him don't even want to come to us. So start out with that. Let him feel important. No. Baby. Talk to me about what you want from me. Hello. Do you know how potent that is when you ask your man what he wants from you? Hello.
That is so true. And a lot of people think it's spicing up the relationship is putting somebody else in the relationship. Come on now. No. No. No, mama and papa thing is ain't gonna work no more. Okay.
No.
Yes, you have, and you also have people that have different issues. You have people that have different issues with men, have a little maybe health issue, right? And you need to spice it up a bit, you can put a little toy and stuff, but I don't believe. This is me personally. I don't believe that the toy should
overthrow the relationship.
Overthrow the relationship.
Yeah.
It's a spice. Mm-hmm. It's a spice, but I don't think this should always be a part.
Exactly.
It shouldn't always be a part unless you're greedy.
And some women are. Yeah, let's talk about it. Some women are. Some women are. Yeah.
Most of the toys, mostly for the what men use the toy to. Like, yeah, come on, let's not
be. They do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I believe it. People will say to me, Jody, you're too open. It's fine. Everybody having sex. I don't see the secret. I don't get it. Everybody's having sex.
Exactly.
And it's okay. Listen, men, it's okay if you want to feel under the fondle at the back. I was talking to this guy at my job. And we were talking about sex, and I spoke about sex for men. And I'm like, if a man like when their butt is tingled, it doesn't mean that you're gay. This has nothing to do with being gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your preference. It's what you like. Just like what some women like to be fondled around there. Some men like it too. And this is okay within the relationship. The Bible said,
mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. Mm. Everything that me and my spouse does is not sin.
It's undefiled.
It cannot be. It's undefiled. What is undefiled? What is the meaning of undefiled?
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing dirty about it. Nothing is dirty about it.
Nothing is dirty about it. Dirty is good.
Come mm-hmm. on. I see what you did there. Come on. I see it. Yes.
Dirty is good. Dirty yes. Mess is good. Yes. See, yes. I'm getting all sweaty.
Listen, this conversation is so hot. This is so hot because, you know, we have to get to a place where we can actually be so open and transparent. Because you know what? You talking to me about what you want to do in your relationship is not going to save your relationship. It's not going to make the sex better. But if you can have an open, honest conversation with your spouse about what it is that you like, can you imagine you've probably been married how many years or in a relationship how many years, and you've never had that man eat that coo? How? He has never gone on his knees and blessed the table before he ate. How? So this is you wanting to do something new, and that's your something new. And because you are afraid of rejection, or you are afraid of how he will judge you, you keep it to yourself while you're there unfulfilled in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. That is true. How do you like it? You like it fresh? You like it when it is touch? You like it when it's a little bit funky? It may be nasty to us, but some men like it when you've just come from work with all that odor. Yeah. They like it like that.
I might not understand it, but they do.
They do, and that's fine. I'm not judging. Okay, yeah. Everybody yeah. like what they like, how they like.
Oh yeah,
right. But how do your spouse like it?
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
how do your spouse like it? Try yeah. okay, baby. On the vacation, not on vacation, but on our honeymoon, not honeymoon. What am I at? What's the word I'm looking for? Anniversary.
Yeah.
Anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, anniversary. Yeah.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for. Or your anniversary. Baby, let's try something different. Mm. The male or the female. Let's try something different. Just once. Let's venture. Let's do something. We don't have to do all five things, but we can try one.
One.
You may just like the one. The one is okay.
Yeah.
One is okay. Yes. We can try one.
Just to infuse something new. Because sometimes, you know, and I don't want to say sometimes, that there's that saying that goes, when you do the same thing over and over expecting a different result, that's madness. So can you imagine being in a relationship, being unfulfilled, and they're just doing the same old missionary sex, and probably a little bit of doggy style, and you're not getting the desired pleasure from it, but you keep doing it over and over and over, hoping that this time he will find the G-spot. It's madness if you think it will change, honey. It's madness. So add something to it. Add something to it. As you rightly said, add a toy to it, because it could be that you need that toy that can stimulate the G-spot. And along with the missionary and probably the doggy style position that you're in, that toy helps you to achieve the climax that you've been searching for all this time. It is not
all these years, not all this time, all these years.
All these years.
All these years. You know, Graphic, can I speak? Because, you know,
talk about it.
You know, I've always heard about squirting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that even possible?
Yeah.
Is that possible? Speak to your spouse. And this is why communication is so important. Mm-hmm. It's so important. I've been divorced for maybe 3 years now, and when I was married, I was shy. I was really shy. Listen, yes, it's my husband, but there's a lot of stuff that I still felt timid to speak about because of the person and also of my nationality, where I'm from. Is that America?
They're free with their love and the sex. They know what they want. But we, in a sense, are still archaic.
Yes, we're still discovering. We're still trying to figure out. We're still trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong.
Mm.
We're still trying to figure out.
Should I do this?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Good to do. What will anybody say if they found out? Yeah.
You see, I'm an anointed woman of God.
Mm.
Listen, before I say what I feel, let me just put this out there. I love the Lord. I speak in tongues and all those things.
Yeah.
But you see, when somebody from the pulpit is going to tell me what to do in my bedroom, that is where you cross the line.
Mm-mm.
What not to do or what to do. And this is why sometimes
get out of my bedroom.
Yes, get out. What you do? Don't do that. And this is why sometimes, especially Christians, they're so timid to speak to their spouse, because they think, oh, going a back shot, doing this, doing that, it's wrong. And you're scared to speak to your pastor husband, okay? Your deacon husband.
Yeah, your deacon husband.
Mm-hmm. Your deacon husband and all of that, but you are looking, Jesus.
Yeah.
Intervene, Lord.
Intervene, Lord.
Intervene, Jesus. God made sex for, you know, I was talking to the Lord the other day, and I was like, God, I know I'm going to be selfish right now, but I don't think sex is for everybody.
Some people be having sex. They're having sex and they're not even having good sex. How dare you? How dare you not have good sex and you are able to have good sex in the way the Lord intended it? Come on.
And some people, it's okay if it's okay. I believe it's okay to say it wasn't good. Oh, baby, how was the sex? If you want the truth, don't ask me. I'm sorry. Don't ask me. I'm gonna say baby was okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear me talking, making reference, oh baby, this, oh
yes.
Listen to your spouse. Listen to your spouse.
Yes, my goodness, man. Jody, you coming back next week, right? I'm sorry, you're coming back next week. Listen, because we're talking about the whole idea of sexual desires and what's there, but we're not even reached some little steps on how we can really and truly have the sex talk with our spouses. So you're coming back next week,
yes,
and we're gonna talk about it some more.
Yes.
Thank you so much
for having me.
Yes, Jody, I love you. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Your relationship is your own. It's nobody else's. How to improve it, what to do to save it. Listen, we can give you advice, but it's up to you to take it. And listen to me, what we say here is not prescriptive, not necessarily, but we want that if you need help outside of this show, outside of just, you know, the information that we provide to you here, we want you to go and get help. There are sex therapists out there. There are relationship therapists, marriage counselors. Go and get help, because your relationship is your own. Whether it sinks or swim is up to you. If you have something that you want to talk about, if you want to talk to us about tonight's show, you can email us at info@familyalltheway.com or family@umeradio.com. Listen, tonight was so hot. Tonight was so good. And I hope that you will join us same time next week for Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos. For exclusive clips, support, and offers, please visit familyalltheway.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on all social medias at UME Radio or #UMEradio. It has been wonderful hosting Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos tonight. Remember, continue to have good sex as the Lord ordained.
Did you find this information helpful? Please let us know. And if you have a topic on your mind, which you would like for us to talk about, do not hesitate to reach out. Email us at ltransers@gmail.com. For access to resources and additional information, please sign up free at our support website, www.familyalltheway.com. If you need help, connect with Dr. Faith Walters at www.familyalltheway.com/therapy-with-Dr.Faith. Get the help you need to develop and maintain strong, healthy relationships. Thanks for watching.